opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
God bless you and welcome to another episode of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth Broadcast Ministry. And my name is Minister Martin DeValley. I'm here also with my producer, Nicole Jones.
Happy Valentine's.
Amen. Happy Valentine's Day to all the great women that God has placed in my life, especially my mother. I'd like to say a happy Valentine's Day to Hazel Ann McClammy. Amen. Well, she a Valier. So to my sister, Sheena, to Cherie, amen, and to a host of all the you know, beautiful women. And to those that don't have a man in their life, happy Valentine's Day. Know that Jesus loves you and you're loved. Amen. Want to encourage my brothers, make sure you call your mother. Make sure you tell that that woman of yours, your intimate other, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's. I hope all you ladies, you know, get everything that you was expecting, or maybe the surprise that you was hoping that you get on this one day of the whole city going out, you know, being, I guess, explosive with all the gifts and the teddy bears and candies.
Yeah. You know, it should be done every day. It's like, you know, amen. This is Black History Month also.
Yeah.
You know, some things just should be celebrated every day. But, you know, thank God for, you know, the teddy bears and the candies. Thank God for the opportunity that we have for a day to express how we feel towards our, you know, our woman. And man, don't forget about your men. Celebrate your men. Happy Valentine's Day to them also.
Yeah. So, men, outside of the candy and the teddy bears, you know, this is a day to really express yourself verbally, you know, show appreciation, give verbal flowers than just the actual physical flowers. I'm sure the ladies will appreciate that much more, and it will go a long, long way.
Well, and we like to encourage brothers that, you know, the finance ain't good. It's not where you need it to be at. And, you know, if you can't go buy a card, you know, do like the kids do. Draw a card, make a card, and tell them you love them. Just let them know that you appreciate them. Because, you know, if you got somebody, you blessed. Because, you know, it's not a given to have somebody in your life. There's a lot of single folks, and they're waiting for God to bring somebody in their lives. But while they're waiting, you know, there's a void. So, you know, if you got somebody in your life, Amen. We just encourage you to take this day and just acknowledge them. Because, you know, love is something that, you know, need to be shared. And also it's something that the children that's in the household need to see you demonstrate to your wife or to your girlfriend, you know, that you love them, you know. So we just want to encourage brothers for, you know, just trying to, you know, some people just got into relationships. It's their first relationship, and they're really not acclimated with going out and buying candy and buying gifts. And so, you know, we encourage that brother, you know, it's a scary thing, but, you know, take her out to dinner, you know, take her out to lunch, you know, just do something to make her smile.
Well, what about those brothers that got a couple dates lined up? They got one for the lunch date and one for the dinner date, because, you know.
Well, soon they'll find out that it's hard being a player trying to keep up with all that. But, you know, to them that's in that stage, because they're not always going to be at that stage. I've learned that if you just get old enough, hey, man, as you get old enough, you better thank God for the one you got. Mm-hmm. So some of them are just young and mature, and they just doing
some of them is old, too.
Well, I mean, if you're old and you're doing it, because you should reach a certain age where, you know, come on, one woman is more than enough. Trust me, to try to take on two and three of them is literally suicide, because one woman requires so much attention. Amen. But I've learned in a relationship is where most men is maturing. You mature. So you hang in that, you know, you stick in that. You got four and five different women. You're a player, which means you're just playing games. There is no maturing. There is no accountability.
Right.
You lying. But when you get in that one relationship where, you know, she look you in your eyes, you look her in her eyes. And, you know, you begin to learn, you know, it's better to tell the truth. It's better, you know, to make this thing work right. You realize that it's a lot easier, amen, to just be with one woman than to try to juggle two and three that wants all your time. You just can't do it.
And some people may beg the difference on that, because that one woman can be very demanding, and expectations can be very high. And for some brothers, you know, they get scared. And I even heard some of them say, you know, it was easier when they had, you know, the couple that they were playing with, because they didn't have to follow nobody's rules. They created their own rules. And either she got on board with it or she didn't. So, you know.
It's less demanding, you know, it's less demanding. As I said, you know, women, you know, most men are always trying to play up to women. We're always trying to please you. And then some of y'all just can't be pleased. You got your own issues. And it's very difficult to please you. And so when a man gives you his best and you reject it, that's a dangerous thing to do. You know, so sometimes whatever he give you, just encourage it. You know, it's a scary.
Be appreciative.
Be appreciative. There you go. Because he didn't have to do anything. And it's a, you know, like I said, in this emotional world, men, for the most part, men are new to it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to encourage them. You got to get them a cookie. You got to get them a pat on the back, a hug, a kiss, you know, over the simplest thing, you know.
That thank you.
Go
is
a long
that enough?
Way. Go a long way. Go
is
a long way.
Is that enough? Because sometimes you say thank you. People still sometimes feel like you're unappreciative of them because, I don't know, you know, that whole love language scenario.
With most men, you know, don't thank me with one sentence, and then the other sentence you criticizing me for another 20 things that I don't do. If you want to build somebody up, you got to be consistent. You know, women always talk about consistency. Mm-hmm. You got to consistency do this. You got to do this every day. Well, also, when you're building up a man, you got to be consistent at it. You can't build him up and then tear him down because he left his shoes in the floor. He didn't put the clothes in the hamper and just destroy him. You know, I mean, if you do something great, then awesome. But if an opportunity presents itself, you always don't have to tear him down. If you can just put him in an environment of cultivating, in most cases, he should be more receptive to it. He should. He should.
Because I don't look at that as tearing him down, you know, from your scenario as far as leaving the shoes, because that's just a, you know, a cleanliness issue is not so much tearing them down, is accountability, you know, being adults, living together, you know, don't put too much strain on a one person.
No, I agree. And, I agree.
So I don't think that's tearing down. Actually, it feel like a kid sometimes if you constantly gotta, you know.
See, now there we go. I'm glad you said that. God is so good. God is so good because you said it makes you feel like you're dealing with a kid. So when you call a man a kid, that's tearing them down. So it's not what you say, but it's what?
I guess how you say
it. It's how you say it. Amen. That works both ways. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it. So you know.
So today we're going to learn how God love on us even in our imperfections.
Hello.
And how, you know, I guess we just got to be steadfast in every relationship, whether it's our relationship with our children, showing love, learning how to talk to one another in love instead of talking at the person. And I think that's where we all really get it mixed up and confused that we talk at a person or at each other than talking to them. So, you know, today, you know, we coming from the word after our, you know, first break, but we want to address, and I was talking to Minister Martin about just addressing the different types of love. We have our relationship type of love with man and woman. We have our love from our children that we give to our children. And oftentimes, most of us, the way we display our love sometimes can be harsh, where the person on the opposite end don't receive it as being love because of different personalities. I often was told by my mom too that I'm a little tough. Like she felt as though my dominancy. You know, I have a cold side because I don't allow things that, you know, people say to penetrate, you know, within me to where it changes my behavior for me to respond and act the way they want me to act. So, you know, if I wasn't strong emotionally and know who I am, a lot of the words that I hear, you know, can come across offensive. And, you know, that's where you begin to feel insecure about, you know, yourself and who you are through the words of others. So hopefully today, you know, we'll learn how, you know, God responds to us when, you know, we fail, when we falter, when we just, you know, don't do things even according to his words. And hopefully we can walk away today with some understanding on how important it is to be able to communicate through love. So we're going to open the lines around the 44 hour, and our toll-free number is 1-888-329-3306. And we invite you guys to call in and just, you know, give us some of your love today, whether, you know, some encouragement about the show, whether you want to just share something, or whether you rather just give a shout out to somebody that you love. Feel free to call in at 888-329-3306. And today I'm just very grateful. I'm very thankful to God. I'm very thankful for my children. I'm very thankful to my man. I'm very thankful. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for where he has me at in life today. You know, sometimes, again, I said last week, we think we have life planned out for us and God has a whole different plan for us. So, and it always work out for our good. It really do. So,
well, praise God. I agree with that. And also, I'd like to congratulate you. Amen, because this weekend we're flying away and we're getting married. Amen. So that's my Valentine. Happy Valentine.
Happy Valentine's to
Amen.
You.
Amen. God is good. There's a lot of good things that's going on. God has opened up other opportunities for us. Amen. To share the word of God. So we're just excited. I just want to piggyback off what you were saying. And we thank God for all of you great, strong, strong women. But that's a problem that a lot of strong, strong women have is that mouthpiece. You know, they're strong in their words, and sometimes words kill. You know, the Bible said that that life and death is in the tongue, not just in the tongue of a man, but it's in the tongue of a woman also. And so, you know, and even men, you know, you get these strong, structured men. I had to adjust as I got older and as my children got older. I had to learn, first, I'm your father, but I also have to learn that, you know, I'm talking to another man now. That's my son. He's 18, he's 19, he's 21. I'm talking to a man. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if I'm going to be in his space, then I got to respect him as a man. Mm-hmm. And if I can't respect him as a man, then I taught my son that I can't be in his space, because I'm his father. Don't give me the right to down him and to kill him,
right?
No matter what my past is. So, you know, I had to come up, you know, mm-hmm. I'm raising men. So, you know, we got to be mindful on what we say. That's why the Bible say, pray one for another.
Right.
Encourage one another.
Right. And Amen. it ain't always easy when you feel like you know better, or right. you may feel like, you know, as being an adult, even when it comes to our children, we foresee things, and as a matter of fact, we experience some things. So a lot of us try to prevent our children from going through things. And Martin and I were just talking about that before we reached the studio. You know, our children is really, you know, trying their wings and doing things and putting themselves in situations that ultimately, as a parent, we may feel like it can cause them harm. So to sit back and, you know, even try to love on them and allow them that area for them to grow, we have to we gotta learn how to love them as they become an adults, without Amen. Being dominant, without being controlling, without calling names, because we working out of fear for, you know,
bingo. I'm glad you said that, because a lot of us speak negativity to our children out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to make that mistake, and we don't even know how to come across loving. But I'm so glad, according to the word of God, you know, God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. And in other words, you know, we got to understand that we were once 15, we were once 18, we were once 21, and we wasn't the best at that age. And so we got to allow them that time, that cushion to mature, and we got to learn how to stand on the sideline and be prayerful. And right. that's why it's so important to raise your children up in the church, raise them up in the word, so that they can have that word in themselves, so God got something to work with.
Yeah.
You got to give them more than a prayer. You got to put that word in there so that God can have something to work with. The Bible says that we might plant and we might water, but God will give the increase. But if we're not planting and we're not watering, mm-hmm. then we're not giving God opportunity for the increase.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to be mindful when it comes to that, and prayerful.
Right.
I'm praying like I never prayed before.
Me too. I ain't gonna hold you. Me too. Because there's just some things that's out of our hands. Like, you know, even when it really comes to our children, you know, that being forceful with them, it don't work no more. So you have to allow the spirit to work within them, that love to work within them, where they trust what you say, and you giving them to God, and hopefully, you know, prayerfully having the Holy Spirit convict them and work within them, that they know the decisions that they make, right from wrong, or not even, it don't have to be wrong, but it can cause, wrong right. can come from some of the decisions they make. So, you know.
And that's why Jesus said this. This is what Jesus says. He says, I've taught you, I groomed you, I've told you everything that it is that you need to know to live a victorious life. But he says, but I'm going to leave. But when I leave, I'm going to send a comforter back.
Mm.
And the comforter is not going to make a religion of himself, but he's going to remind you of everything that I've said to you. And oftentimes we have been in circumstances or situations where our parents wasn't there, but their word, their voice came and
right.
ringed in our minds.
Right.
And it just, you know, sometimes you've heard your mom calling you, but you say, I know my mom ain't here.
Mm-hmm.
But that voice. And so the Bible said that Jesus says that the Holy Ghost will be a voice to echo what he says, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Right. So, you know, I thank my parents. I thank my mom for that word. I also thank, you know, my parents for planting, you know, the word in me young, for making me go to church, even though I love going to church. And to this day, you know, I would feel off if I didn't. It fuels me for my work week. It fuels me to be able to handle issues. So, you know, I'm thankful for the root. how I was, you know, how I was groomed, shall I say, in the Word of God. And I just thank God for, you know, having the patience with me even through all my trials and tribulations and finding myself. So today is a day of love, but it's a day of thankfulness as well.
Yes.
So we'll hear what God have to say when we come back from our little break and see how, you know, he loved us all.
God bless you. Welcome back to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth Broadcast Ministry. And I'm your host, Minister Martin DeValley. I want you to get your Bibles, get your phones, get your notes and your pad, because we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word. We need the Word of God in order to live. This is something that you can get fat off of, the Word of God. And once again, happy Valentine's Day. We want to take your attention to St. John 3:16, a familiar scripture. And the Word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to look at verse 17. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's very important, that the world through him might be saved. If you can just follow with me to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And it says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And so to bring what we were talking about in retrospect to pain to a close, we want to try to work all this in. Amen. Listen now, we understood that pain had taken course on the earth. We understood that killing and murdering and any type of thing that the devil could whisper into the ears of a person, because you got to understand that the devil cannot pull a trigger. He cannot make you kill yourself. He cannot make you harm nobody. The enemy speaks to your conscience. He works through your conscience. He controls your thoughts. And that's why the Bible says that any thought that seeks to exalt itself, any thought that seeks to control you, dominate you, lead you, he says, you got to get that out of your mind. You cannot allow a thought to control you. You cannot allow an emotion to dictate to you. You know, some of us are like on a clock. After you eat a good meal, an emotion talks to you and say, now you need to smoke a cigarette. So now you just can't eat a good meal. You got to light up a cigarette after the good meal. You cannot allow your emotions to dictate to you, because you're upset and because you're not feeling well doesn't give you the right to talk to somebody any old kind of way. You cannot allow your emotions to speak for you. You cannot allow a temper tantrum, amen, to speak for you. And so, you know, the Bible was speaking about, you know, for God so loved us that he died and he gave his only begotten son. Listen, we had established a God problem. Pain was birthed in eternity. We realized that. We understood that. We understood that these things was hid in Adam. We understand that. And we understand that when Adam sinned against God, that all these things were made alive in Adam. Adam was given a choice. But how many of you choose right over wrong? Amen. Sometimes wrong will seduce you. Wrong will fool you, where you can think you're doing right, but yet you're doing wrong. You know, like most kids, we try to tell them what's right, but they're hard-headed. And we saying, listen, you do not have to learn the hard way, because I did it this way, and here's the consequences. And so we work hard to teach our children not to make the same mistakes. But some of them think they're grown up before time, and they get stuck in their own ways. And they do things. And that's a problem that so many of us have dealt with, being people who made mistakes, to try to teach our children, our grandchildren, not to make the same mistakes. But, you know, God told Adam, you know, Adam, don't eat of the fruit. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. But Adam ate of the fruit, and everything in him that was dead came alive. And unfortunately, he chose to do the wrong thing. Oftentimes in life, we choose to do the wrong thing, and God tries to prevent us from doing the wrong thing. But when Adam did the wrong thing, and sin came alive in Adam, and sin was passed through Eve, so every child that Eve had was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Sin was your school teacher. Sin is what controlled you. See, sin don't come to be your friend. It plays like it's your friend, like you're having a good time. But sin comes to control. Sin comes to destroy. Ultimately, that's what sin wants to do. And listen to me. If you're not born again, then you're living in sin, and you really don't know what tomorrow holds for you. You don't know what trick, what device the enemy is working up for you. But believe me, he's working on something that's going to destroy you. And so we realize that when Adam sinned and all these things that God hid in Adam came alive, and now sin was birthed into the world, and sin has been on parade. It has been winning fights. It had been destroying lives. It had been breaking up marriages. It had been getting folks locked up. Sin has been in control. And so therefore, God realized that sin is something that I'm going to have to deal with by myself. And so the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Abraham, and he swore to him. He says, Abraham, I swear by myself, which simply means if can't nobody deal with sin, I'm going to deal with sin. If can't nobody deal with pain, I'm going to deal with pain. And I'm going to swear by myself, which means I said it and I meant it, and I'm going to sure enough do it at the appointed time. And so one day the Bible says that Abraham and his wife had a child at a late age. And Sarah had given birth to Joseph. And God told Abraham to do something that was hurtful. It was hard. He says, Abraham, I want you to go take your first son, and I want you to go sacrifice him. I want you to kill your first son. And as difficult as that was, Abraham grabbed his first son, and they went up to the mountain. Joseph had no idea what was going on. He said, look, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said that God will provide. And so now you got to understand something, that if Abraham would have killed Joseph, he would have had to go back home, and Sarah would have been waiting for her son. Now, she loved Abraham, but Abraham took her baby. And the first thing that she would have been waiting for, looking up the road as they come down to down the mountain, is, where is Joseph? I see Abraham, but where's my baby? And you know how women get about their children. And so, you know, that would have been hard on Abraham and hard on Sarah. But you got to understand something. Abraham was told to sacrifice Joseph. He was told to sacrifice him. In other words, he was told to kill him or to crucify him. And as Abraham was about ready to kill his son, the Bible said that a voice came from heaven saying, Abraham, kill not thy son. God hath prepared a ram in the bush. But God saw that Abraham was willing to do that thing. But I'm so glad that God said, this fight I'm going to take on my own. This one, I'm going to handle this one. And so he said, listen, Abraham, since you were going to do something that I've asked you to do, he says, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of this. And so we pick up in St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And so therefore, what God said is, what Abraham could not have done, I'm going to do. And so all of a sudden that we have Jesus now, born by a virgin by the name of Mary, and Jesus hath endured every pain. The Bible said that we would have a priest that could bear our infirmities. That means that he would go through what we went through. He would be able to feel and be able to identify hurt, pain, and disappointment. And when we follow the life of Jesus, we find out that that's just what he have experienced. People betraying him, people denying him, people turning their back on him, and yet he still loved. So God wanted to show us that people in sin are going to do what sinners do. Sinners are going to stab you in the back. Sinners are going to lie on you. Sinners are going to hurt you. This world is a sinful place to be in, and this world is going to hurt you. This world is going to deny you. You are going to go through circumstances in this world that if you ain't got God living on the inside of you, that would make you want to throw in the towel. I'm so glad that they said, listen, if he's for me, he's more than the world that's against me. And that's the problem with a lot of us. We got to get more Jesus in us in order to deal with the world that's working against us. And so Jesus dealt with Judas, one of his disciples, who actually betrayed him, turned his back on him, stabbed him in the back for 30 pieces of silver. He dealt with disciples that were talking big and bad. I'll never deny you. I'll follow you all the way through the end of time. You know, some of us who begin to walk with Jesus, amen, and when you first get saved, you're full of zeal and you're full of power. I remember I first got saved, you couldn't tell me nothing. I remember debating and arguing with my mom and debating and arguing with people. You know, that zeal will have you go sometimes before your time. But if you live a little longer, you live in this thing a little longer, you walk in this faith a little longer, you yourself, when you find yourself making some mistakes, you oftentimes learn by your mistakes. You grow by your mistakes. So Jesus, he walked and he had disciples that turned their back on him. He seen how folks could be. He experienced pain. He experienced this thing because pain had to be overcome. Pain had to be overcome. And pain says, there's a price for this thing here, you know. So therefore, man really couldn't pay that price because man wasn't perfect. We were born in sin. And so God says that I'm going to come down and I'm going to take on sin. I'm not going to to commit sin. I'm not going to live in sin, but I'm going to overcome sin. Overcoming sin simply is this. Sin is a choice. Jesus chose not to sin against himself. You know, when we sin against God, that's a choice. You know, it's one of the scary words is with Christians is, I'm not perfect. Listen, you can strive to be perfect because you do not have to sin. That's a choice. Amen. And like with Adam did not have to sin. That was a choice. He chose to sin. And when he sinned, there was a consequence. And when we sin, there is a consequence. And sin worketh death. But here come Jesus to pay that debt. Here come Jesus to conquer that debt. Here come Jesus to take the power from sin. Here come Jesus to take the sting out of death. Here comes Jesus to take the victory from the grave. But he went through. He experienced hard times. Jesus says, for the Son of Man, for people have homes. But he says, for the Son of Man have nowhere to lay. He have nowhere to stay. He has no home. He has no farm. He has no animals. He has nothing. He's not coming in gold and silver, but he's coming to do a work. And so the Bible says that we read in Matthew 20, 26 and verse 30, is that when Jesus' flesh begin to realize that flesh is going to experience pain that I don't deserve. And so the Bible says that he wept and he cried and he says, Lord, let this cup pass. And then the Spirit of God, the God in Jesus says, listen, not my will, but let your will be done. You see, for the first time, Jesus said that the flesh is weak. His flesh got the revelation of the manifestation of the pain is about ready to come. In other words, because Jesus would say, for the Son of Man is going to be crucified, and for 3 days he'll be into Hades. But on the third day, he'll be resurrected with all power in his hands. And so as he would walk to the garden, the flesh grew weak, and Jesus began to pray to the point where his sweat was like blood drops, saying, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But it wasn't possible because pain was in control. Sin was in control. You had no choice. The enemy conquered your mind. He destroyed your life. And you did whatever he say do. And you ran wherever he say run. And you jumped wherever he said jump. And God said, I want to establish a relationship that when I speak to man, man hears me. And man follow me. And man trust me. So he says, I'm going to come down. And I'm going to fix the unfixable. And I'm going to move the unmovable. And I'm going to change the unchangeable. And here comes Jesus. And so he finds himself in the garden. And he's saying, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Because I understand that they're going to crucify me. They're going to beat me. They're going to beat me until my skin rip open. And blood is going to come out. And Lord, if that's not good enough, they're going to put a thorn on the crowns upon my head, and it's going to cut through my skin, and blood is going to come out. He listened. It was painful. He understood that it was going to be a cruciating pain for something he did not do, something he did not inquire, but because God loved us so much that he was willing to put our sin nature and have that debt paid by Christ. So you got to understand, no matter what you're going through in your life right now, that if God loved you enough, watch this now, to put on a sinful nature, to put on sinful flesh, amen, watch this now, and to leave eternity, to leave paradise and come down and fight a fight that we could not fight and pay a debt that we could not pay. Could you imagine what God wants to do for you in your circumstance right now, right where you're at? I know some of us are lonely, but listen, God was willing to die so that you can be saved. So there's a reward in seeking and in serving God. Back to the text. It says that he understood that they would crucify him, that they would hang him because he was a prophet. He prophesied what he was going to go through. You see, Jesus always reminds his disciples. He says, listen now, for the Son of Man must be killed, for the Son of Man man will be buried. He will be out of your sight for 3 days and for three nights. Listen, these things must take place. These things must be fulfilled. Now, the disciples didn't understand that they had to be fulfilled because this thing was already played out in the mind of God. In other words, see, the mind of God works with the heart of men. And that's why we're missing God, because if God got a plan, but God can't communicate to your heart, then the signal ain't reaching the place where it need to go at. And so now you're being led by your emotions, and the devil comes to live in your emotion. God comes to live in your spirit. And so the Bible says that the spirit of man warreth against his emotions. It says that the spirit warreth against the flesh. So what it's really saying is that the spirit of God that wants to live in your soul, live in your spirit, needs to war against the enemy that gets into your flesh, because the enemy rules over the flesh and the flesh rule over the spirit, and therefore whatever the devil tell you to do, you do. But God said, if you allow me to come into your spirit, I will give you the dunamis power that you can rule over your flesh and that you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. See, the lust of your flesh simply is your emotions. Emotions will get you in serious trouble. If you want to tell the truth about it, what got Adam in trouble was his emotions. He somehow got more connected to Eve than he was connected to God. So sometimes when you all messed up, you got to begin to do self-evaluation. What is it that you really connected to? Your husband, your boyfriend? What are you really connected to? Your wife, your girlfriend? What are you really connected to? Your job or your children? Listen, because whatever you're connected to is what's going to rule over you. And so now God says, in order to make this relationship right between me and man, I got to remove sin. I got to get sin out the middle. If I remove sin out the middle and I place Christ in the middle, now Christ will lead man back to me. And when Christ leaves, he's not going to leave me lonely or comfortless. He'll send the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can be in the middle. So there's always going to be somebody in the middle to remind me that when my life is falling apart, that God is. There's always going to be somebody that's in the middle to remind me when things are going in the different, in the wrong direction, that when my life is falling apart and things that I'm attached to that I should not be attached to, that the enemy is now working that against me to kill me, I need somebody to remind me that God is greater than anything that I'm going through. And so the Bible says that the flesh of Jesus had got the revelation that this road is leading me to death. Come on now, talk to me. This road that I'm going on is leading me to death. And so it cried out and says, Lord, if it's possible, could you allow this cup to pass? Can we do this any kind of other way? And then the spirit of Jesus rolled up in him and says, listen, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so we got to understand something, that in order to live a victorious life, you're going to have to separate yourself from yourself. Wait a minute, that don't sound right. You have to separate yourself from your emotions. In other words, in order to experience victory, you have to separate yourself from yourself. Mm. You see, it's two of you working against the one of you. In other words, you have you, that's the one, but then you got your flesh, that's the other one, and then you got the enemy that's working with your flesh. Wow. So it's two of them against you. You got to get the Holy Ghost on your side. You got to get God on your side. So the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. So what's going to divide you from you is the word of God. What's going to divide you from your negativity is the word of God. What's going to divide you from your low self-esteem is the word of God. Some of us have been born in circumstances and situations that have caused you to drink, that have caused you to smoke, have caused you to get high. Listen, you couldn't get a relief break from nothing else. Listen, and so you did whatever you need to do, but you went through a spiritual source. You went through something that works with your spirituality to give you this relief. But listen, God will replace that negativity and allow his power to come into your life. Wow. You ain't feel love until you felt Jesus. That's why he says what? Come just as you what?
Are.
Come a drug addict.
Yeah.
Come a thief. Come a liar. Come with one eye open, one eye closed. Come with a clean suit. Come with a dirty suit. Come with shoes. Come with no shoes. Come with your hair done. Come with no makeup. Jesus says, come just as you are. In other words, you ain't got to fix it up. You ain't got to convince him. He loves you. And that leads us into, he loves you with an agape love.
Wow.
Unconditional love. And he waited long enough. He waited long enough so that the mess that you're in can build you up, can begin to slim off some of that mess off you. Because see, pain and trouble will strengthen you. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, Paul said, listen, throw them out in the world. Because when the devil is through working with you, you're going to want to come to the house of God. The enemy has a way of making you run back to the house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of God. David was excited. So you got to understand something, that God is making you, but God did not forget about you, because God came down that he might identify with what you're going through. And just slip in some healing power, slip in an antidote that will lead you and build you up and strengthen you up with that word. Get that word in you. Mm. David, listen, thy word, O God, that I what? Hide in my heart. If you got a broken heart, it's time to put word in that heart. It's time to get word in that heart. If you're going through, it's time to get word in that heart. And that's and when you're going through, it's breaking you. But God is coming to make you.
Because he made us.
Through everyday trials of life, the enemy will have you question your very existence. So I come to encourage you, the believer, that God
made me. He made me who I am.
Come on and say it with me. God made me.
God made me.
He made me.
He made me who I am.
Put a smile on your face and lift your head and say,
God made me.
He made me.
He made me who I am.
You may be feeling down, but pick yourself
God made
up
me.
And say,
He made me who I am.
So repeat these words after me. Say it.
We'd like to welcome you all back to Rightly Divided, a Word of Truth. with Minister Martin D. Valley. You know, that was a good word. And today, you know, we are so excited to be here. We have a lot going on ourselves this weekend. And, you know, today is about love. And God has truly blessed me with a great man of God who, you know, he got flaws, but that's what love is about. When you understand someone, we all got flaws. Love is a series of compromise and sacrifice. And truly, we all have to really look into the heart of man. We have to look into the heart of each other, and not so much always the behavior, but who they are and their expression of love to you. And again, everyone have different love languages, but I love the way God have his love language. Amen. Towards us, because he did the ultimate sacrifice. And so we invite you guys to call in. Our lines are open at 888-329-3306. We want you to share a testimony, you know, or just shout out your loved one, your boo, your children, whoever has a special place in your heart or have done something awesome that you're thankful for. So, again, 888-329-3306.
Praise God. I just want to focus on, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, understand this, that any time he could have got off, but it was love that kept him there. Mm. Because if he would have got off, the process would not have been paid. The debt would not have been paid. See, it took a miracle for that debt, because sin had to kill you. It killed him. He died. He was gone for 3 days and three nights. Mm-hmm. He says, as Jonah would be in the well of the belly for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in Hades, be in hell. But he says, but on the third day, see, love killed him, but then love resurrected him. Right. Love resurrected him to the point that when you are hurt and you are lonely and you are confused, you got somebody that you can talk to that loves you more than anybody. Can't nobody love you like God can love you.
No, not at all.
Nobody can love you like God can love you. He sacrificed himself. He sacrificed his son. He was willing to die so that you can live. And we want to encourage some of you that have been in some hard relationships, that you've been love been band-aided in you. You've just been loving and loving and loving, and love got him through another year. Love got her through another year. You know, long as they ain't beating on you and trying to kill you, we understand that, you know, love can hold. Love is what's holding this thing together. And we encourage you. We want to keep you in prayer. Amen. Because the enemy is after the family, and he's after the mind of the believers. But when the going get tough, just believe and just know that God loves us with an agape love. Amen. We love each other with an eros love. Mm. That's that emotional. You start twinkling with your eyes. You start laughing at stuff that ain't really funny. You know, everything he do is just cute. You know, everything is just cute. He can't do nothing wrong right now.
Right.
You know. But, you know, you got to practice that. You got to practice finding ways to celebrate each other. And I think that's the problem today. Why love, you know, what hurts love is, you know, they say the definition of love is to sacrifice your happiness for someone else. But if someone else sacrificed their happiness for you,
we both covered.
Then we both covered.
Right.
And so we need to understand that marriage is about covering each other. Mm-hmm. Not just your good. My good don't need to be covered. It's my flaws that need to be covered. And sometimes you got, listen, you know, Jesus could have came down. You could have walked out. But sometimes, you know, when you really love somebody, you put that patience in. And there is nothing like encourage. God continuously encourages himself. I'm doing this because I love them. I'm doing this because I want a relationship with them. I'm doing this because I want to talk to them. I want them to talk to me. I want them to read my word, and I want to read their heart, and I want them to know what's going on in my mind. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the good things that God has for mankind. And I got news for you. You'll never know it if you don't talk to them. And so God says, I want that relationship,
right,
a real relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, that a real relationship is you talking to God and God is talking back to you. That's a real relationship.
Yeah, I seen something that said, what good is communication without connection? So if you don't have a connection with God, you could communicate all day long. You feel like your prayers is not being answered because you're not connected.
Amen.
So it's important to pray. It's important, you know, to come before God every day so that way you could build that connection with him spiritually.
Let me give you a nugget right quick. Prayer is not bringing just your problems to God. Don't let your problem be the reason you're coming to God. You need to come to God just to talk to God. Yes. You are more important to God than your problem, than your marriage, than your children. Listen, you are important to God. It is a personal relationship. Oftentimes we have learned to come to God with just problems, and we present our problems to God. Mm-hmm. Listen, God wants you to present yourself to God. And when we begin to learn how to present ourselves to God and God fill us with the Holy Ghost, that will clean out all of the problems. Amen. And that's what messes up marriages, is that they allow a problem to become bigger than the marriage.
Right.
How can you allow a problem that you can talk about? Amen. And work out be the cause of destroying a marriage. Now, I've experienced it because I was a victim of it. You know, I was a victim of it.
We have a caller. I don't mean to cut you off, but we have a caller. So we'd like to welcome our caller in before we go off air. Welcome.
Hello, this is Pastor Alexander Cole.
Hi, Pastor Cole.
Hello, Nicole. Hello, Minister Martin.
God bless you, bro.
Happy Valentine's Day to all out there, our audience and our listeners. I want to give honor to God for his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I want to give honor also to my wife, Francine Cole.
Amen. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
The apple of my eye, but the cornea in my eye.
Oh, okay.
She's more than the apple of my eye, she's the cornea in my eye.
What?
I see everything through the thought of her.
I know that's
so happy
right.
Happy Valentine's Day to my lovely wife. And I want to say happy Valentine's Day to the both of y'all.
In a few hours, I
will be catching flight going out to Vegas, and I'm going to rendezvous with the two of you because I count this such a big honor to be the one to join
you
together in holy matrimony in Las Vegas.
We thank
and
you.
So, until that time arrives, I just want to say, my brother, you're doing a wonderful job out there. You keep encouraging the hearts of the people. You are reaching more than you realize.
Praise God.
And
praise
Nicole,
God.
You are more than just a good thing. You're the right thing.
I know that's right.
Thank
Praise
you.
God.
For the last few moments that we do have, I want to say God bless, and God bless to everybody out there listening. This is Pastor Alexander Cole, and peace be.
Amen.
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 We'll see y'all soon. We'd like to thank everybody again for tuning in to Rightly Divided, a Word of Truth with Minister Martin D. Valley. Have a blessed day. Have a love God-filled day. And until next week, same time, 3 p.m. here on WWDB 860 AM.
When I found you, I found the rest of my life. When I found you, I told all others goodbye. When I found you, I saw my fears fly away.